Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com.
From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, Corpus Christi is running out of water. The city says the solution is desalination, but the residents of Hillcrest are fighting the proposal to put the desal plant in their neighborhood.
When you have to come home or wake up every day and figure out if you're going to have a neighborhood or a home or not, or is somebody going to come in and try to steal it.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. This week, Corpus Christi declared Stage 2 water restrictions. Here's Corpus City Manager Peter Zanoni.
And the reason we're in Stage 2 is to conserve water. Everybody has to be mindful of this. We have to work as a community. It's not the industry against the resident or commercial against resident. Everybody's in this together. We all use the same water.
Stage 2 is required when the combined levels of Lake Corpus Christi and Choke Canyon Reservoir drop below 30% of storage. Under Stage 2, residents can only water their lawns once every 2 weeks, but there are no restrictions for the industrial use of water. And there are a lot of industrial users of water in Corpus Christi, and they use a lot of water. The city has a track record of being generous with the local water supply, with the refineries that have set up shop there. In 2017, city officials signed over a large portion of their water supply to an ExxonMobil plastic plant that consumes approximately 25 million gallons of water per day. Industrial users in Corpus Christi are estimated to use between 60 and 80% of the city's water supply. It's been projected that Corpus Christi will outstrip its water supply by the end of this decade. That's according to the region's 2021 water plan. The solution, they say, turn seawater into freshwater.
Seawater desalinization. The city council took historic votes in the past 2 months to accelerate this project more than ever before. That is the Inner Harbor Seawater Desalinization project that will produce 30 million gallons of water.
The city is planning an estimated $1 billion desalination project that will pull seawater out of the Gulf of Mexico, filter it and process it, convert it into fresh water. This is a long-term solution, requires permitting and construction. However, progress has been slowed by environmental concerns. The process of desalination produces a salty brine as a byproduct. Disposing of this brine into the Corpus Christi Bay has raised concerns from environmental regulators. The process of desalination produces a salty brine as a byproduct. Disposing of this brine into the Corpus Christi Bay has raised concerns from environmental regulators about potential ecological damage because the bay is essentially closed to the open Gulf. The desal discharge is super concentrated with salt, which is deprived of oxygen and is more dense than regular seawater, so it sinks. That creates a dead zone where sea life can't survive. Also, the brine raises the salinity level of the bay, which has already been increasing over the last 50 years and disrupting the delicate balance of marine ecosystems in the Corpus Christi Bay. But there are other concerns. The plan calls for placing the desalination plant in the Hillcrest neighborhood, a historically black community. Corpus Christi's Hillcrest neighborhood has a history of fighting against environmental injustice through Title VI lawsuits against the city. The lawsuits allege a pattern by the city of placing industrial facilities in the predominantly minority neighborhood. Residents have argued this disproportionately burdens their community with environmental hazards. Recently, a local documentary was released that amplified many of the complaints from the community members about these multiple projects in Corpus. The documentary is called Water and Soil, Environmental Justice in Corpus Christi.
Our problem right now is it's find land close to the water where they want it.
San Patricio County Judge David Krebs said multiple billion-dollar companies are interested in coming to the Coastal Bend, but finding space for them is a challenge.
It is easy for them to take advantage of our communities, and our political leaders, you know, roll out the red carpet for them.
Whoever is on that table is who has power.
When concerns over how much land is available for them to come, the Port of Corpus Christi is making sure that some of that land is available to bring that to the local economy.
Carlos Rurial is the director of the Water and Soil documentary. I spoke to him along with a resident from Hillcrest, Renoir Lamarcus Knox, and Jennifer Bray, Senior Communications Manager for the Environmental Defense Fund.
There's proposals for several desal plants, but the one that the city council has most recently focused in on and has taken votes on is the what they're calling the Inner Harbor desal plant. And that is in the heart of the Hillcrest neighborhood. These companies are obviously saying that it's not Hillcrest neighborhood, but the Hillcrest residents, you know, they believe that it's you know, part of their neighborhood. And, it, you know, I mean, it's right. I mean, it's literally right next to their neighborhood. The local community there in Hillcrest, they see this as the, you know, their sort of last stand in many ways. From their understanding, once this gets built, it'll be the final nail in the coffin of their neighborhood.
So let me talk to Renoir about that. This is your neighborhood, right?
Yes.
So
this is that is our neighborhood. It is the desal plant is in our neighborhood. Actually, my house where I grew up, from where they're talking about putting the desal plant, it's like would be 500 feet or less from my house that I grew up in, inside of the neighborhood. So when they say the Inner Harbor, I think anybody that would get that statement and say that this plant's going to be in the Inner Harbor. So the initial misleading name of the desal plant was intentional by the city to fool everybody else. So this fight wouldn't come up any sooner. So you blatantly went out to fool everyone and the name in itself. So at that point, we know that you're capable of doing anything else as a city government to get what they want and to simply dismiss the concerns and the people in the neighborhood. They did a study in 1999 on our neighborhood, and they call it the Northside Commerce. And in their study, they wanted to get rid of all the residents. And in their study, it's actually in a book that the city paid for. And it says the hindrance is the single family housing in the neighborhood that's would be holding up their project to revitalize the neighborhood gentrification process. So they call us a hindrance themselves. Blatant racial discrimination on the things that they've done over the period of years, and also allow someone to write a book in a study and call me a hindrance and say that my land is underutilized. Well, I use my land completely. I live here. So how is it unutilized? It's underutilized for their purposes. And they have stated that in a book.
But I want to ask the question about Hillcrest neighborhood. And it is a historic African-American neighborhood, Renoir?
Yes. It became a historical African-American neighborhood late in the 50s and 60s when the more white population lived in the neighborhood. And then they moved the red light district and allowed us to buy houses here. So this was formed as the Black community at that point. So for, yes, years, this is and still is, you know, the only historical Black neighborhood that we have in the city.
And it's in the shadows of all the refineries. It is adjacent to Refinery Row?
Correct.
What does that mean to live in a neighborhood you are exposed to the refineries?
Correct. All the time.
And that's been a health issue for the folks who live in the neighborhood.
Yes, we have quite a few people with colon cancer, different cancers, and all kind of other immune diseases that is more prevalent here than anywhere in the city.
There was a health issue with the water, lack of backflow preventers for the refineries. Evidently, there has been evidence that it's leaking toxic chemicals into the drinking water supply. The closer you are to the refineries in Corpus Christi, the more exposed you are to these highly toxic chemicals. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
So what's that like for you?
I grew up here, born and raised here. I'm 59 years old right now. And at some points, you know, it's your community. And a lot of times, where do you go? if you can't leave, then you have to deal with what has been, you know, imposed upon you for a lot of the residents. Before the city kind of got into this, the refinery themselves, they had an explosion when I was about 14 years old. And they came to the neighborhood and said, hey, we're going to provide a buffer zone for you guys. We're going to move our tanks back. They got rid of some tanks. And then they bought up one block in around the neighborhood. So that was showing us some good faith, you know, in what they were trying to do. But now at this point, the refineries are not pushing the agenda. It's the city that has really tried to destroy the neighborhood. They've called our neighborhood. They've said we are not a neighborhood. There's 100 houses still left here. Whether there's one or 100, we're still a neighborhood. To come home or wake up every day and figure out if you're going to have a neighborhood or a home or not, or somebody going to come in and try to steal it, you know, every single day of your life. And my mom was fighting this fight over 20 years ago. Now I'm fighting the fight. So it's been a burden.
Jennifer Bray, this is environmental racism. Is that what you see?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question. Hillcrest is on their third Title VI complaint. And yes. the city has the temerity to continue. They're picking out a designer for this desalination plant, for a project manager for this desalination plant. And the Title VI complaint is still being investigated by the Department of Justice.
Can you explain what a Title VI complaint is?
A Title VI complaint is a mechanism that neighborhoods can use. It goes back to the housing and urban development rules, that if a neighborhood is being targeted in an unfair way because of who is in their community, that the housing and urban development department can get involved. HUD referred this complaint. So this complaint was originally filed with HUD. HUD referred it to the Department of Justice.
And so they're saying their neighborhood has been targeted repeatedly over the decades. And here we are again with the desal plant. We're not even getting into whether or not desal is a good idea for the environment. So, Carlos, you touched on that in your documentary. What are the concerns about this desalinization?
Well, one of the major concerns is the brine. So obviously, as you're separating the salt from the water to make it drinkable, there's this brine that's left over and generally gets dumped back into the sea, right? And it has to go somewhere, right? Something has to be done to be done with it. In our community's case, we live in what's called a closed bay system, right? And so this type of desalination plant no one has ever made one inside of a closed bay system. And so, you know, the major concern is that this brine is going to destroy our bay, which is already under a tremendous amount of pressure because of other projects that are going on in the area.
So raising the salt level in the bay, which has become the estuary for many of the sea life in the Gulf of Mexico. They come into the bay where there's a high fresh water level, and so they're able to reproduce and have offspring. Otherwise, then they go out into the Gulf. But without having that, then that sets the whole Gulf of Mexico is a challenge. Is that it?
Well, absolutely. Well, particularly in Corpus Christi Bay is a closed bay system, right? And so as these plants are being built, they find that where the brine is being discharged, it leads to these dead spots, right? Now, these dead spots are happening in the ocean, right? The ocean large. And so we're concerned that if you do that in a system that's closed off, that it's going to just completely destroy, make a big dead spot inside of our bay.
So is the path forward this lawsuit, the civil rights lawsuit? How do you see that working out for you, Renwall, since this is number three in trying to find some sort of equity?
Hopefully we've given them enough information, and the city's intent, that we have, you know, showed their intent to do this on to the neighborhood over 20 years ago. hopefully that they'll be able to recognize their intent based on the things they've said, the projects they've done, studies they've done, hired, you know, redevelopment companies in 1999 to destroy my neighborhood. Their whole intent for them in that same study was taxes. If they replace my house with a big building, they get more taxes. So their whole deal is profit.
You can say that about anybody's house. So why your house? Why do they want your property so bad, and why?
Well, because they said it in their study. My property is in the center of the city. I'm sitting here talking to you and I'm looking out my back door and I can see downtown. Okay. I have great visibility to the city. I have great access. I have no apparent flooding. Our neighborhood will never flood. Also, for them, they're going to go to the ones who think they have the least resistance, and which has been what? The historical Black community or minorities in a whole. So that's where they're going to come. Also, my neighborhood has one more great feature for them, the utilities. There's $150 million, $200 million no-cost redevelopment to them if they move me off the land. They don't have to build the streets. They don't have to put the infrastructure in. So there's a win for them. So they want to win at all costs, and we lose for their game. That's why my neighborhood. There's a lot of attributes that this neighborhood offer that they want, and they care nothing about us.
The city loves to sell this desalination plant as the a cure for drought. Nothing could be further from the truth. This desalination facility is designed for industrial users, and you know, 30 million gallons a day of water that honestly we don't need. If they repaired our aging infrastructure, if they repaired the Mary Rhodes pipeline, Exxon Sabic, just to give you for instance, uses 12 million gallons a day. The average residential customer in Corpus Christi uses 5,000 gallons a month. This is not for the residents of Corpus Christi. This is for the big industry.
The permitting necessary for the desalinization plant, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, TCEQ, do they have to sign off on this? Does the EPA, who are the regulatory agencies?
TCEQ, in fact, that there is a public hearing on the city's discharge permit is going to be held in April. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is also involved in this process. The EPA has already weighed in and told the Port of Corpus Christi, who is also pursuing desalination plants, that you need to reconsider how you're approaching this. And it's just puzzling to me that the city is so committed to moving forward with this at all cost, when everything about it seems to me to indicate that it's going to be a disaster in the making. You know, Tampa Bay has a desalination facility that is offline once a quarter because their filters get clogged up, and they are in an open bay system. This is, by any expert you really speak to who really knows about desalination in a closed bay system, says it will not work. And they will not even consider the idea of, okay, well, let's move the intake and discharge offshore. No, well, we'd have to go 20 miles because, you know, that's how far away our bay is from the Gulf of Mexico.
Carlos, what kind of reaction have you gotten on your documentary, and have you been surprised by the response?
Yeah, so generally the reaction has been overwhelmingly good. We're getting people who generally aren't interested in the issue to really be take notice, to sort of sit up and take notice. People have been paying these outrageous water bills for a long time, and a lot of times you just don't realize why. right? But you know, you realize it every month when, you know, when the bill comes due. And so this has been, I know, like my, you know, my family personally has all taken a major, now they're all paying attention, right? People are starting to listen and to wake up to see really what's going on here.
Carlos Villarreal is the director of Water and Soil, a documentary about environmental concerns in Corpus Christi. Renoir LaMarcus Knox is a resident of Hillcrest neighborhood. And Jennifer Bray is a senior communications manager for the Environmental Defense Fund. I also spoke with Drew Molly, the chief operating officer for Corpus Christi Water, about the concerns.
Stage two, what it requires is it requires the entire community. This isn't just residential, but it's also commercial, it's industry, it's multifamily, it's all customer classes that we sell water to. It requires everybody that lives in the city of Corpus Christi to only water outside water irrigation with automatic irrigation equipment once every other week. Stage one was once every week, and stage two is once every other week. And I think one of the things that's tough for our community is that many, many people feel like this is the city, the water utility sort of picking on the residents. And I understand why people would feel that way. But ultimately, really what this is it's trying to raise awareness to the entire community that we have a water scarcity issue in our region. And over the last 600 plus days, we've been in stage one, now in stage two. It's clear that our watershed is in it's in a tough place. It's not getting the rainfall that we need to fill our reservoirs. And unfortunately, David, in this part of the world, the city of Corpus Christi, 100% of our water comes from lakes and rivers, which means 100% of what we depend on has to have its rainfall falling out of the sky. And so that really puts us in a tough situation when we're relying on just one water supply type for our entire region's water.
The industrial users of water in Corpus Christi use quite a bit of the available water. I've seen estimates between 60 and 80% of the water in the Corpus Christi system go to industrial users, yet they're not asked to cut back during stage two.
That is actually not correct. So during stage two, industrial users are being asked to do the same thing.
But you're talking about landscape watering.
Correct. Landscape watering is something that they are required to cut back, just like residents are required.
Right,
to
but
cut back.
For their overall industrial uses, they're not asked to cut back.
Correct. Just like David, we're not asking residents to cut back what they do inside their houses, right? So we're asking everybody to do the same thing. And Corpus Christi is unique. It's unique because this city has a lot of industrial use. And so, you know, it clearly makes it somewhat difficult, especially at times like this, where, you know, the industry does use a lot of water. And so, you know, the industry, some people find that, you know, appalling. There are people that find it appalling how much water they use. My job really, David, is not necessarily to make judgment on the different customer classes we have. My job is to make sure that the city, whether they're residents, industry, that they have water. And so I'm agnostic as to, you know, my feelings about whether or not industry should be doing this, that, or the other. My job is to make sure that everybody has ample water and it's safe quality water.
There's plenty of water for the residents, so residential use, except so much of it goes to the industrial side of things. Isn't that correct?
Like you said, 50 to 60% of our water goes to industrial use. That is correct.
The water rates in Corpus Christi have been pegged as some of the highest in the state, and that the water rates are expected to increase in order to pay for new water production projects. What's it look like, the future of water rates for the region?
So I would say that the city of Corpus Christi has competitive water rates with other cities across the state of Texas. We're certainly, depending on how you look at what volume of water you're looking at for comparison purposes for water rates around the state. It depends on, you know, how expensive the city of Corpus Christi's rates appear. So I would say that we have competitive rates. I would also say that Corpus Christi is going to have rate increases as a result of additional water supplies that we are going to need to secure. I can't tell you exactly, David, what those rates are going to look like in terms of how this is going to impact the residential, commercial, industrial user. But what I can tell you is that we're looking at two different additional water supplies to bring into the city. One is a groundwater source, and then the other one is a seawater source. And when we're talking about bringing in two entirely brand new raw water supplies, there's clearly going to be an impact to the rates. And so that's something that we're going to have to work with, not just the community. We'll have to work with our council to try to make sure that the rate impact is as palatable as possible to our ratepayers.
Hillcrest neighborhood, they say they are being targeted. They claim this is racial discrimination, that their neighborhood has repeatedly been targeted by the city of Corpus Christi for infrastructure projects that no one else wanted. And now we're seeing this Inner Harbor desal plant appears to be going in their neighborhood. What do you say to the residents of Hillcrest?
Well, I would say, David, that it's important to recognize that a water treatment plant going into any neighborhood is something that we need to make sure that we work very closely with the community on. The Hillcrest community is certainly a community that has had some challenges over many decades, you know, especially here in the last couple of years. The new bridge was decided to be put right through the heart of this neighborhood, which essentially has really put that entire neighborhood in a place that is unfortunate. And most of that neighborhood has basically been into a federally mandated buyout in order for the record of decision to be issued for that bridge to even be constructed. And so ultimately what that means is that means that much of the neighborhood that, you know, looked like what it looked like 5 years ago does not look anywhere close to what it looks like today. And so given that, I certainly want to make sure that a water treatment facility is constructed in a way that is very much in the spirit of being a good neighbor in a neighborhood that has unfortunately had a lot of things happen to them that has been, I think, tragic. And so putting a water treatment plant into any neighborhood is something that we need to make sure that we work closely with the community on. I will say it's a water treatment facility. It's not a wastewater plant. It's not a refinery. It doesn't have smokestacks. But nonetheless, it is something that has buildings. It has equipment. There's truck traffic. But David, ultimately, you know, I've driven in that neighborhood. It's tough. There's houses that are in pretty poor shape. There's a lot of abandoned facilities or houses there. So it's a neighborhood that certainly not on the incline. Unfortunately, it's on the decline. But you know, at this point in time, you know, we spent a decade looking at where to build the optimal seawater desalination plant. I mean, we've looked at over 20 locations, and this location was the location that had been selected a number of years ago. I say 4 or 5 years ago, because the permits have been in place for 4 or 5 years. So, this was the most optimal location.
Drew Molly is the Chief Operating Officer for Corpus Christi Water. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. Email us at texasmatters@tpr.org. There are past Texas Matters programs on our website at tpr.org, and you can download us wherever you find great podcasts. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com.